Thanks for joining us for this edition of Forward Church Online. Today's podcast was recently recorded at one of our live worship experiences. We hope you enjoy today's message. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Sitting out at a coffee shop, and some girls were walking around and they were telling everybody about their church. Well, I was so excited. I thought, this is going to be it. This is going to tell me where I can go. Maybe they'll be my friends. And instead, they took one look at me and the way I was dressed and how I looked and gave me a dirty look and passed me over.
I was going into fourth grade. And that summer, my parents sat me down and told me that they were getting a divorce. And I remember being blown away by that. And then on top of that, we showed up at church over the next few weeks. And I just remember feeling this difference there that we weren't supposed to be there. Like, you know, we had divorce slapped around our chest. And for me, it made me feel like there was something wrong with me.
I trusted Christ when I was in high school. Decided to go to Bible college so I could figure out some of the answers to my questions as far as the Bible and God and making that work practically. During my senior year, I really felt like instead of getting answers and getting help with some of my questions, I got rejected, in so much as even the college president calling me out in one of the classes and basically saying, if you still have questions this late in the game, you just don't get it.
I grew up in a church for 20 years, and when I went to college, I made a few mistakes and got pregnant out of wedlock. I knew there would be trouble, I knew there would be gossip, but I never expected a phone call from the pastor asking me to resign my membership.
Well, for the first time in my life, I was really coming back to God. I was trying to really reconnect with Him, and my life was a mess. I was going through a divorce, I was in debt, I didn't have any friends, and so I actually wrote a letter to a friend of mine that I knew from high school. I knew that she was a pretty strong Christian, and I thought maybe we could start up a friendship. So I sent her a letter, and a couple weeks later, I got a package back in the mail, and I opened it up, and there was no letter. It was just a pamphlet on why divorce is a sin.
Well, I struggled with same-sex attraction all my life, and being a Christian and brought up in a Christian home, Christian school, I had difficulties dealing with it. And went to my pastor because I knew there was some kind of issue with me, that I had some problems. And instead of receiving spiritual guidance, I received, hatred. And I was condemned. And I was asked to leave the church.
There came a point in my marriage where things got really rocky. I made a decision to trust the people at the church and start telling them about what was happening. And I expected them to try and understand. I expected them to help, to accept us broken like we were, but instead they judged us, they judged me, they blamed me. It was definitely not okay to not be okay.
I was 5 years old. I was going to Sunday school, and I seen a statue of Jesus, and I knew my grandmother would really like it, so I took it from the church and gave it to my grandmother. The next Sunday, whenever I went back to church, the preacher took me aside and told me I was going to go to hell for stealing, and it really scared me, and that really turned me off, and I asked my mom if I had to go to church anymore, and she said not if I didn't want to, so I stayed away from church for 31 years, and I pretty much went to hell for the next 31 years.
It made me feel rejected.
I was totally crushed.
To this day, it affects my family.
What good did that do anybody?
God forgave me, but the church couldn't.
I wish He would have treated me like a brother instead of a piece of garbage.
We need to be examples and not tell people what they have to do and what they should do, but just show them what we do.
Turn your neighbor, tell them, say, oh, it's going to be one of those kind of nights. I'm good. Did you hear that one voice in the background that said, God forgave me, how come the church couldn't? It's going to be one of those kind of nights. If you brought your Bible, let's go for the next 20, 25 minutes to John chapter 1, beginning with verse 14. John chapter 1, beginning with verse 14. If you didn't bring your Bible tonight, you can use your iPhone, your iPad, or your eyelids on the screen. Some of y'all got that. The rest of y'all, once your medication jumps in, you'll catch that. iPad, iPhone, eyelids. All right, here we go. 1 John chapter 1, beginning verse 14, says this. The Word became flesh. The Word is Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Now, we know that we're getting ready to come up on Thanksgiving, and after Thanksgiving is Christmas, so that pretty much sounds a little bit like the Christmas story. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Moving right along, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father. Now, I want us to read this last line together. Who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's do it again. He came from the Father full of grace and truth. Grace and truth. Something that Jesus did very well is he balanced the two. It wasn't just one-sided. He wasn't just full of grace and he wasn't just full of truth. He balanced them very well. And it's a dilemma that I believe the church is battling. This church and the church as a whole is battling to balance the difference between grace and truth, because there's two ways you can go on the balance scale, okay? You can either go all the way truth and go, this is the truth, this is what God's word says, I'm standing on his word. There's no doubt that the truth that is in here is truth, right? You can say, man, I believe this. If you don't believe it, then you can die and go to hell. There's pastors that speak that way. If you don't believe that I'm right and I'm proving this right, it's straight out of God's word. Listen, God didn't call you and I to be right. He called us to be effective. See, you can have the truth and be sincere in what you're saying and still be sincerely wrong if the spirit behind it isn't the spirit of Christ. Okay, so there's a balance that the church, and it has caused a dilemma in the church, because we can either be full of all the truth or full of all the grace. And what does that say? That says, well, we just got to just love and accept everybody and water this down a little bit so that we can get more people and just let everybody, just grace, just love, just sloppy grace. Well, that hasn't helped anything change either. So there's a difference between truth and grace, but what this says, that he came full of both. And who are we supposed to model our lives after? Jesus Christ. Everybody say Jesus Christ. Just because you know the truth, how you share the truth determines the results of what happens to the person who's experiencing what you're saying. Based on how I'm delivering truth, how I'm dealing with it, or how I'm delivering it will determine the result in your life. You tracking me? You follow me? So something that I've always been when it comes to putting a message together, and this is going to be a two-part series, and I'm going to encourage you because we're going to have 2 weeks off. Next week we're eating, and the following week after that we're going to eat again because it's Thanksgiving weekend, and we won't have church that Wednesday. But the following Wednesday after that is going to be part two. And part two, it's going to be very, very difficult for me tonight to not want to jump into part two, because part two is the part that's really heavy on me and has been for some time. But I felt that it was important that we just kind of laid some foundation work, and I'm going to do that tonight. But something that I've always done in rightly dividing the word of truth is to do it from a place where I am. To do it from a place where what God is walking me through, things that he's teaching me. Because I just believe that whatever God is teaching me, I believe that he can help you as well. Or things that he's teaching you that maybe I'm stumbling with, you can help me. How many know we're all in this together? Everybody say together. So tonight I'm working from a place of something that God is walking me through as we learn and grow together. So I want to speak to you tonight from a subject that I believe is plaguing the body of Christ as a whole, and it's hurting our mission of reaching people far from God. Somebody said, well, it sounds to me like this is just something he's working out for you. No. Because if whatever, it flows from the head down. So whatever I'm dealing with means you've got to be at some point going to be dealing with it too. And if I'm dealing with it incorrectly, guess what it's going to flow out to? It's going to flow out to you, and guess what you're going to do? Deal with life and people and reaching lost people, people who are far from God, incorrectly. And we're not going to, again, he didn't call us to be right. He called us to be effective. As long as we're preaching the word, we're going to be right, but we need to make sure we're effective at doing it. Amen? So I want to speak tonight for just a few moments on the great dilemma, balancing grace and truth. And by the way, the word said grace and truth. It matters which one came first. And I'm trying real hard not to jump into next week. We're going to look at Daniel tonight, but next week we're going to look at Jesus. Because I believe he is the model of how we should be handling church business, our individual personal lives, and then reaching people for his kingdom. Amen? He is the model. So it matters which one came first in the word, and it said grace and truth. Okay? And I'm just going to leave that right there, and we'll pick that back up in 2 weeks. But when asked, when people who have been in church left the church, they're no longer in church and have no plans on coming back, why won't you come back to church? This is some things that they said, and the responses are staggering. Some of them actually made the screen tonight in that video. It made me feel rejected. Now think about when people come in here. We don't want them to leave and this be their experience, okay? And by what we've heard in the community and people who have come here or came here, people who actually come for different events that's not technically one of our church functions, they have felt not this, but they have felt love. So we're doing a great job, but we got to make sure that we're always following through. We don't lose sight of what we're supposed to be doing. Amen. People said, hey, I felt rejected. I felt crushed. I felt shunned. I felt condemned. I felt like an outcast. I felt unworthy. I felt unloved, and I felt judged. Now, my question is, if the word of God, whatever church these people went to and they experienced, whatever part in the nation that they experienced this, I'm pretty sure that the word of God was preached, but my question is, what was the motivation, the spirit behind the teaching of the word that caused them to feel crushed, rejected, shunned? Okay? What are we portraying on our jobs? What is the message that we're portraying? Oh, I'm a Christian and you're full of sin and all. Hey, that might be true. But guess what? They don't need you pointing five fingers at them because you got another hand and all five can come back at you. The Bible says, be careful that you judge lest ye fall also. I know I just slaughtered King James Version, but you know exactly what I'm saying. That's what the Word of God says. Amen? So as the body of Christ, we've been called to, and I'm fixing to take it all the way back to the probably one of the very first sermons, messages that I preached here. We're called to flip the script. Whatever normal is, kick that over. Whatever the religious people said, this is my sacred cow, don't touch that. Man, I just want to kick that over and go, Jesus ain't in your cow. He's not in that whatever you got. That's a religious experience. Jesus is in you. He's not in that cow licking crystals or whatever. He's in you. If he's not, you came to the right place. We can make sure and introduce you to him. So he can become Lord of your life. We've been called to flip the script. We've been called to counter the culture. We say that a lot. And people are like, what does that mean, counter the culture? It means to push back on culture. That's what we've been called. Push back on culture. Culture, you turn on CNN, you turn on any news. It don't matter what news it is. Facebook, it don't matter who you're following. There's sponsored stuff that comes up that you're not even following. And it's culture pressing on you. It's time for the church to push back on culture. That's the great dilemma. So what is the great dilemma? This is the great dilemma. How do we stand firm and love well in a culture of compromise? That's one of the points. You write that down. This is the dilemma. How do I stand firm? How can I stand on truth and at the same time, be full of grace and love well. Excuse me. In a culture of compromise. Yes, we have real hope. His name is Jesus Christ. We have real hope that you and I are called to share. But how we share it. Everybody say how we share it. You may know Jesus and he may be Lord of your life. And you may feel called to help other people in their issues of life. But how you share the message determines on if they'll receive it or not. It's kind of like this. I raided our medicine cabinet. Now, it's not going to work real well in Florida because we only see about 3 days of winter. Y'all know what I'm talking about. If you live in Florida any length of time, you know I'm telling the truth. We might be good this winter and get 2 weeks. But at some point in the next couple months, you and I are going to run, because these are probably out of date, but because it only lasts for just a couple days in Florida. But we're going to run to the store and we're going to get all this medicine, right? Too much of a good thing. This is what I need to help me to get through what I'm going through. But if I was to take all of this at one time, how many knows it's going to probably push me over the edge? And if I got something that's prescribed, it might actually push me out to a point of no return. See, it's what I need, but too much of it, or used in an incorrect dose, because it also it looks on here, there's a dose for your children and there's a dose for yourself, for an adult. Same thing works in the church in breaking down the gospel. I can't break this down. I know a lot of older people don't, I don't want to say it that way because, well, I already said it. A lot of people don't like me because I try to be cool and hip and I but you know what? I'm 42 and I told Angela Grace, I told Amy, I want to be like Toby Mac from DC Talk. Or, well, that was way back in the day. The dude's like 60 something years old and he is cool. I'm going to say cool as crap. And that probably offended some people too. He's cool. When I get 60, I want to be like that. Why? Not to be cool, but because I want to make sure that the world can connect. See, you got to connect with your audience before you can correct them. If I'm not connected to you, if I don't have a relationship with you, that doesn't just mean that I know who you are because you come here. That means I've walked through problems and situations. I got to connect with you before I can ever correct. But the correction isn't coming from me. It's coming from the Father dealing with all of us. But too much of this or inappropriate dosage isn't for everybody. Are you tracking me? I'm going to move right off that. I think you got my point tonight. Same thing with God's word. Same thing with the word of God. We got to balance grace and truth. Are you tracking me? Is this helpful at all? Okay. If what is meant to make me better isn't managed wisely, it can have a reverse effect on my life. If the word of God, even for myself, if I'm breaking open the word of God and I don't truly understand, and I in my own crazy mind have an opinion, I think it's this way. If I'm not managing this wisely for myself, it can have a reverse effect on what God wants to do. The devil knows the word of God. He knows how to twist it and convince you of things that would cause you to have a reverse effect of what God really wants to do in your life. So in this series, we're going to look at the answer to the question, how do we stand firm and love well in a culture of compromise? Because I believe that I've been called not necessarily to pastor, a title, but to steward a message. All of us have been called to steward the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Without Christ-centeredness, this can be messy. But with Christ at the center, it's the message. Amen? So tonight, we're going to center our attention on Jesus. That was just the introduction. Somebody say, oh me. I told you it was going to be one of those kind of nights. I don't think that it would come to a surprise if I told you that we live in a culture and in a society where we're moving away from Jesus rather than closer to him. I don't think that comes as a surprise, does it? Let me give you some statistics. Out of 193 nations of the world, the message of the gospel is expanding to 173 of them. Out of 173 nations, the gospel is spreading, listen, faster than population growth. What's that mean? That means that more people are getting saved than they're being born in 173 nations. But that means 20 of the nations, that's not happening in. And guess what? America is one of those. If we're not careful, our churches will become more of a museum. Power shut off, we drive down the street and go, there was once a time that the presence of God, and we knew, we heard about some things happening in that building. It not on our watch should we be in a place and in a society where churches are shutting down and things are no longer happening. Or matter of fact, they're still the church is still open, but the presence of God is Ichabod over the door. The glory of God has departed. The day that the presence of God is no longer felt here, I won't be here. I want to be where he is. Amen? Yeah. Come on, somebody. It's all about the presence of God. It makes the difference. Let me say this. It is his message and his love that changes lives and sets men free. My message may inspire you, but it can't help you temporarily. My love can challenge you and inspire you, but it can't set you free. We can't allow on our watch the culture to continue shifting and turning away from God. I mean, Dad could give you all kinds of statistics on what's happening on the high school campuses, this one particularly, that would blow your mind. My Lord, we need Jesus back in the public school system. Not a secret silent prayer, but one where people can stand up and go, I'm not going to tolerate this anymore. Flip the script. Somebody said, well, we can't do that. Remember what I said, whatever's normal, whatever is accepted, that's what we want to say, no more, except Jesus. That's the only thing that's going to set you free. That's the only thing that's going to get you to fit in. The reason these kids are doing the things that they're doing is because they're trying to fit in. But what they don't understand is the path they're going is an open, bottomless pit that leads straight to hell. You'll never fit in. So how do we do that? How do we stop the culture that is shifting away from God? What do we do to prevent that? Here's your first point. We must be equipped. This isn't like, oh my God, did he get that in a seminary? No, I've never been to seminary, whatever it's called. You got to be equipped. Anytime you're going to do anything, whether it's fix your car, change your oil, I can do that on my own car. But you got to be equipped with the knowledge to make it happen. It's not my responsibility to change you. It's not my responsibility to make sure you get out of sin. That's not my responsibility. My responsibility is to preach God's word, uncompromised, but preach God's word in truth and in grace, and let you make the decision if you're going to accept it or not. I don't feel bad. Yeah, I'm going to feel bad if you die and go to hell because you didn't see it. But it's not my job to get you off your fanny and say, come on, you got to stop that. That's not my job. When I think about someone in the Bible who was placed in the middle of a shifting culture, kind of like we're in today, yet stayed true to his God, I think of Daniel. Remember Daniel? Remember the flannel board with Daniel in the lion's den? All of a sudden, the lion showed up because the flannel board got lions attached to it. You like that one, don't you, Janelle? I always use that. Something about the flannel board. I don't know. Maybe I got a tender spot for VBS and flannel board things. Don't worry. That's what I should do. Bring in a flannel board and use it as an illustration. Maybe that'll bring the glory of God in the house. Just kidding. Listen, Daniel goes into a culture and does what most people say you can't do. You got to either do one or the other. This is pastors I'm speaking to. This is deacons and board members and denominations and VBS teachers that say you got to either stand for truth or you got to just love everybody. No, you can do both. How do I know that? Because Jesus did. Well, that was God in the flesh. Ding, ding, you're right about that. But he did it as an example to say it can be done. And if we get it out of balance, we'll never see this. We will never see this city change. Now, you can draw the line and go, well, perhaps, I wonder if that's what's been happening all the years because we're not seeing a lot of change. I'm not saying there hasn't been any change, but they're not seeing drastic change. Maybe it's because we're out of balance. We're heavy on the truth side. Or we're heavy on the, we just love everybody. You got to have a balance of both. Because if I have all grace, you're still going to go to hell. If I have all truth, I'm going to offend you and you're going to leave and never come back. How effective am I at that? This ain't popular, I know, but I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit, I have been grieved on the inside for quite some time and did not know how to process this. But this is the way that I think in order for us to see change, so we can stop declaring, we're going to see this city flipped upside down. We're going to start saying, the city is flipping upside down. So how did he do it? One or the other. This is the two things that he did. What did he do? First thing is, he stood firm or stand firm. That's how we stand firm in our faith. He said, I'm not going to bow to your gods. You can throw me to the lions. That's okay. I trust my God. Secondly, have influence. Have influence. He was brought into this culture as a teenager, and he was there for 70 something years because he was almost 80 years old. And he had influence into four different administrations. Four different leaders came through and was asking Daniel for advice. He was able to stand firm and have influence at the same time. Somebody say, stay the course. Be consistent. But see, but most people think, well, if I stand firm, nobody's going to like me. If I stand firm, the Bible's going to offend people. Or you get people on the opposite side who say, I'm going to be an influencer, but I gotta bend the word a little bit. I gotta make it so that it people will accept it. You can't go either way. You gotta balance the two in grace and truth. People say, "Well, I can't let the Bible just be the Bible. I've got to shift it a little bit, or I've got to be more tolerant of people's sin so that we can include more people, because God just loves everybody. He does love everybody, but He loves you enough that He went to the cross so that you don't have to stay there. Because if you do, it's hell as a destination." People say, "Well, I just never heard you be that rough and tough." Oh, it's truth. There is a consequence for sin, but that's not the only message. There is grace. It's a balance of grace and truth. Let's go to Daniel. Can I have, y'all know I'm fixing to ask it. Can I have 10 more minutes? Y'all good? Y'all with me? I want to get through this so that we're set up on the 22nd or whatever the date is. I don't even think that's the right date, whatever it is. After Thanksgiving. Daniel chapter 1. Start at verse 1. There it is. Okay. All right. I'm going to shoot through this real quick. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, hard word, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered king of Judah into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God. How many knows that things that God has called sacred has no business in Babylon or the world? They carried those things off to the temple of their God in Babylonia and put it in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and nobility. Basically what they're doing is they're trying to bring people from Israel into, indoctrinate them into the world system. Kind of like what's happening today, where the enemy is trying to bring people that are in the church out of the church, people who have influence out of the church, put them in the world system and then indoctrinate them and then get you to believe the great dilemma. You got to be one way or the other. No, you can balance the two. Stay with me. Here we go. To bring them in, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and the literature. It's called indoctrination. Literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine. Somebody says, "Man, I'm in. Show me the door." The king is trying to lay out everything. The enemy will, what am I trying to say is, the enemy will try to lay out for you how everything is just awesome. They're getting the king's food and the king's wine. Listen, when an enemy comes to you, he's not bringing down a broke down men. When he tries to entice you with another woman, she's not going to be one-eyed, one-legged, looking crazy. Yeah, she's going to be hot. 10. Now y'all ladies look at me kind of crazy too. So I say it this way. Ladies, when the enemy wants to entice you with a dude, he's not going to look like Pastor B. He's going to be whatever you like, okay? He brings out the best. And that's what he's doing for these guys. He pulled these guys out into their kingdom, into the world system, and allowed them to eat at the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. So bring them into to culture and to indoctrinate them with their belief system. Let's go to verse 6, and then I'm done. Among these were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Now, you recognize Daniel, but you don't recognize the other name. That's because they are also known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were renamed. Listen, culture is trying to give you a new name, trying to rename you based on your past, based on what the enemy is trying to set up for you. That wasn't their real name. That was their Babylonian name. That was the name they were given. But Daniel, the reason Daniel's name was, I don't even think I can pronounce it, Belshazzar, that word. But never changed it because he went to the king, because he had influence and said, again, he stood firm. I don't want my name changed. Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these are the guys we praise because they didn't bow down. They got thrown in the fire. Fourth man walks them on out. That was Jesus. We know that story. But yet they allowed their names to be changed, but yet God still used them. Remember what I said, just because you mess up doesn't mean you're disqualified from what God wants to do in your life. Let me say that again on podcast so it goes across the airwaves. Just because you mess up doesn't mean you're disqualified from what God wants to do and use you to flip your city upside down for Jesus. And anybody that tells you different has got the word of God all jacked up. I'm just passionate about stuff that people get so blindsided by and they believe it. I've just got to sit on a pew. I can't be used because I made all these mistakes. Well, then let me put my mic down and come sit with everybody else. It's why we must stay connected, because culture is trying, I'm almost done. Culture is trying to, as it's shifting us away from God, it's trying to give you a new name. It's trying to give you new direction. Things happen in our life that we can't understand, and things that we can't even, God, what in the world? The enemy is trying to get you off course. It's called shifting. It's called trying to get you off balance. Stand firm. Love well. In a culture of compromise. Everybody say, stay connected. Instead of married couples, man, things go, I always know what day it is, if it's Wednesday, because I wake up and there's friction between Amy and I. Always on Wednesdays. Happened this morning, and I said, oh, I know what day it is. Somebody said, I thought y'all had a perfect marriage. That's Facebook. But if you dig a little deeper past Facebook, there's friction. There's things that happen. It's the enemy because he knows. It's either a headache that I can't keep my eyes open on a Wednesday, and that wasn't the case today, so he used another tactic. Friction. It's all to get you to move off of what God has called you to do, and it's to silence us. I'm nobody, but I know that he's called me to steward a message. And if he can silence my voice, if he can silence your voice, the impact that God has designed and created for you to do at your job, if he can silence the voice, he's won. That's why we got to stay connected. And instead of gathering around the smoke table and start sharing what's going on in your family and your spouse and how bad it is, and all, tell somebody in the church so we can pray for you. Yeah, come on. You missed a good time to pray. Stop running to the table. That's why it's important that we stay connected to the church house. And then be careful who you share it with. Just because it says you're supposed to, you know, just be transparent. You got to be careful who you're transparent, because ain't everybody full of Jesus and got your best interests at heart. They just nosy in the church. Why? Why do we stay connected? Because we're not just here for worship. Oh, I love that song. I hope they sing my song. I hope so-and-so, da-da-da. We're not here just for worship, and we're not here to check a box off that, hey, we made it. No. We are here to experience hear truth and experience the grace of God. Hear truth and experience the grace of God. When I send out messages on Facebook and say, invite your friends, that's so that they can hear truth and experience grace. You're hearing truth and you've experienced grace, but what about all the other people that the city won't get flipped upside down until you actually invite somebody who hears truth and experiences the grace of God? We're here to experience grace and allow God, listen, to take us on a journey and through a process where we can reclaim the name that God has given us and tune out the noise or the voices that the world or that the enemy is trying his hardest to convince you that you're this. Don't let your past describe who you are. Go to God's word and let God's word describe who you are. Describe who you are. I'm a child of the Most High King. So like Daniel, instead of reflecting the culture and looking like the culture, we must set culture. How are we going to flip the city? If we're just reflecting what's already happened, guess what? If I had a mirror up here, I used to have, but I broke them all. Y'all remember that when I broke all the mirrors? if I have a mirror and I'm only reflecting what's already there, guess what? It doesn't change. But you got to set culture. You got to push back the culture. Yeah, but you don't understand my crazy boss. Then bring crazy Jesus on the scene. Arrive early to your job and start praying. God, I thank you that today, this day, and every step that I take, God, there'll be peace. Even though there's chaos, wherever, I don't know where you work. I don't get to walk around. Well, then doggone it, get in your chair and just sit right there and go, this place shall be a place of peace. Somebody needs to say so. Somebody needs to set culture. Set culture. So tonight, wow, I did good. 2 minutes and I'm done. The proposition is on the table for all of us. Did you get anything out of this tonight? Okay. The proposition is on the table. We can either look like culture and be a thermometer. Y'all know what a thermometer is? You put it into culture and it tells you the temperature of the room. You can either look like culture and be a thermometer, or you can set culture and be a thermostat. When I asked somebody to go over there and change that because the temperature in the room, he went over there and changed the temperature, and guess what? It's set. A new temperature. So the proposition is, in your home, in my home, it starts with me first. Me first, Mrs. Weber. I can either reflect what the culture is saying. Oh, you don't like that? Then go somewhere else. Go find another house to live in. You ain't staying here. That's culture. Or you can set culture and go, not today, devil. Not in this house. Not with these people whose lives belong to Jesus. You can't touch it. So, who's going to set culture? There's no altar call other than if you're ready to set culture and stop being... Somebody said, well, I don't know if I've been... I ain't seen a lot of change. Yeah, I pushed just a little bit right there. So there's a lot of there's a lot of thermometers in the room tonight. I've been one. It's time to set culture. And become thermostats. How many thermostats in the room tonight? Then let me see you stand. That thermostats are people who are standing saying, I'm ready to set change. I'm ready to set culture. When Pastor B says, invite, don't just invite them, because they're always looking for excuse to know I can't. Hey, I'm coming to get you. And on the first Wednesday night, we'll feed you too. Set culture. Don't be a thermometer. Don't reflect culture, change culture, set culture. Father, I thank you for your word tonight. I thank you, God, that it has power to change our lives. And God, I thank you that tonight I did what you asked me to do. And I thank you that your word does not return void, God, that we are saying in our community, we no longer want to be thermometers, but we want to be thermostats to change, set culture. So that homes can be changed, lives can be changed, people can be set free, teenagers can come off drugs and alcohol, premarital sex, and all the other crap they're involved in, because we've allowed culture to tell them it's okay. It's not okay. And then not to direct tension at me, but tonight when you go to bed and you say your prayers, I've never done this before. You need to pray for me. Why? Because I know the devil does not like what I just said. Oh, I expect him to raise his head. But I believe and choose to believe that I have people surrounding me and my family that will guard us. Again, it's not about, I'm not drawing attention. Trust me. I'm teaching you that when you take a stand, see, I'm showing you in my own life. So because you just took a stand, you need to know. And we pray for you. So I'm asking, don't forget about us. Father, I thank you for this night. I thank you that it's foundation for where we're going. Do the work in us from the inside out so that the world can see we are your disciples. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. God bless you. We love you.
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of Forward Church Online. At Forward, we believe that God speaks to each one of us individually, directing our lives and giving us focus. It is our desire that you would experience Christ and pursue His purpose for your life. One of the easiest ways to draw close to God is by connecting with the local church. Get started today by visiting myforwardchurch.org to find out all the ways that you can give, serve, and grow.